Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome back. If you're ever wondering how to teach really core thinking skills like comparing things or, getting organized, well, you might be surprised where we found a great example today. We're doing a deep dive into a children's short story. It's called Mission Monkeys, Sock Match Mystery.
Yeah, and it's more than just a cute story about monkeys and socks.
Right. We're actually looking at the sort of the scaffolding within the narrative. How does this simple story about laundry chaos actually teach pattern recognition and sorting while making kids laugh?
That's exactly what we're trying to figure out. We're going to break down the story structure, look at how it rewards learning, and see how it uses this kind of high-stakes, funny situation to hide a really effective lesson. It's actually quite a masterclass in like learning without friction.
And it all hinges on the characters, doesn't it? The Mission Monkeys. We should probably introduce them because their personalities really shape the learning moments.
Definitely. So first you've got Mila. She's the leader, cool, very organized. She really embodies that logical sorting ability.
Okay, Mila the organizer.
Then there's Milo. He's key for the visual stuff because he gets easily distracted by silly patterns.
Ah.
Which, funny enough, makes him the perfect one to focus on patterns when that becomes the actual clue.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And who else?
Can't forget Mia. She's the quiet one, maybe the unsung hero, super sharp observer. Notices tiny things others miss, like a piece of lint.
Lint. Okay, that sounds specific.
Well, it turns out to be a crucial skill for sorting small things, that kind of detailed observation.
Interesting. And the last one.
And finally, Mick. He's the theorist, the comic relief, always coming up with wild ideas.
Like the sock portals.
Exactly. His big theory is that missing socks vanish into sock portals. He represents that fun, imaginative, maybe slightly off track, thinking that the others need to work around to find the, the simple answer.
I think we've all suspected a sock portal near the dryer at some point.
Probably.
But the story doesn't start calmly. It starts right in the middle of chaos, right?
Total chaos.
It opens at Laundry Lagoon. The monkeys are there to help the forest animals get ready for this annual event, the Clean and Cozy Festival.
Which is a nice touch, linking the chore to a positive community event.
Yeah, good point. But things have gone wrong.
Seriously wrong. Mayor Badger shows up with the big emergency. The entire sock sorting system is broken.
Broken system. And the description is great, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Mountains of mismatched socks flying through the air like colorful butterflies. That visual is key. It immediately shows the scale of the problem, the data overload they need to sort through.
Data overload in the form of socks.
Uh-huh.
And the stakes. They're presented clearly.
Very clearly. If those socks aren't matched by sundown.
The festival is canceled. So they've taken laundry, a totally mundane chore, and turned it into this urgent, time-sensitive mission.
But they balance that urgency with humor, which is important.
Right. Through Mick again.
Yep. His first reaction isn't about the festival. It's asking Mayor Badger if this cancellation means a sock monster is involved.
A sock monster?
And when the mayor says no, just canceled, Meek is like, that's not as bad as a sock monster. But still tragic.
Huh. He keeps it light, doesn't it? Urgent enough for the story, but silly enough that younger listeners aren't actually worried. It's just fun.
Exactly. It gets you emotionally invested without being stressful. So to tackle the sock mountain, the monkeys get tools.
Tools for sorting.
Yeah, special laundry baskets and a scanner. And the scanner gives instant feedback. It buzzes when they find a correct match.
Okay, immediate reinforcement. But then the story does something really clever structurally.
Oh, absolutely. It breaks the fourth wall, essentially.
Mila literally says, "Kids, we need your help."
And Mia adds, "Can you help us spot matches by color, size, or pattern?"
So the listener isn't just watching. They're suddenly part of the Mission Monkey team. They're actively recruited to solve the problem.
And that boosts the learning aspect hugely. It's interactive pedagogy 101. You're not just hearing about sorting. You're doing it as the story goes.
Okay, so how do they structure that doing? You mentioned scaffolding earlier.
Right. They build up the difficulty. They start with the most basic comparison skill and move towards more complex ones.
Let's walk through that. Sock clue, hashtag one is.
Color match. Super simple. Mila holds up a plain blue sock.
And the options are clearly different colors. like red, green, and the matching blue one.
Exactly. It establishes the baseline. Matching by teller is just one variable. It's the easiest entry point to sorting. And when the listener mentally, or actually, points out the blue twin,
UZZ, the scanner confirms it. Instant positive feedback. You got it right.
Reinforces the concept. Find the identical attribute. Foundational skill, nailed.
Okay, baseline established. Then they increase the challenge.
Immediately. Sock clue hashtag two. Pattern match. Now, the sorting variable changes, and you have to ignore other things. Milo takes the lead here.
The pattern guy. What's the pattern?
Bananas. He holds up a sock covered in bananas.
Of course.
And the challenge now isn't just seeing the bananas. It's ignoring, say, slight color differences or maybe the size, and focusing only on the repeating pattern.
So the choices might be like a plain brown sock, maybe a polka dot one, and the matching banana sock.
Precisely. The listener has to isolate the pattern variable. Filter out the noise.
And does the reward change too?
It gets bigger. When the banana twin is found, the scanner doesn't just buzz. It goes all out. Confetti shoots out, makes a big noise.
Confetti for finding the banana sock. That's great.
It escalates the reward for the slightly harder task. And Milo's reaction is perfect. He yells, "I knew the bananas wouldn't betray me."
It makes pattern matching feel like this moment of like triumph and loyalty, not just looking at shapes.
Yeah, it ties emotion to the cognitive skill. Very effective.
So color, then pattern.
Yeah.
It's a third clue.
Saw clue, hashtag three. Size match. And now it's Mick's turn, the theorist, forced into a very practical task. He holds up a teeny tiny sock.
A teeny tiny sock. And how do they make matching size interesting?
They use really obvious contrasts, hyperbole. Yeah. The comparison options are deliberately kind of ridiculous.
Like what?
Like a huge striped sock, the correct tiny pink sock, and an oven mitt.
An oven mitt. Okay, so you're not just comparing tiny to small, you're comparing tiny to gigantic, and also not even a sock.
Exactly. It makes the relative size comparison super clear, visually funny, and really hard to forget. It simplifies the core task, find the same size, by making the wrong answers amusingly wrong.
That's a great memory hook. And Mick's reaction.
He's thrilled when the tiny pink match is found. He shouts, "Socks that fit are the best kind of socks."
Simple truth.
Right. But notice, every successful step, whether it's color, pattern, or size, gets met with real enthusiasm and clear positive feedback in the story.
Okay, so they've taught the core skills.
No.
But there's usually a final challenge in these stories, right?
Oh, yes. The climax. This is where they bring it all together and really test the monkey skills.
What happens?
The scanner suddenly goes wild, beeping like crazy. It signals the appearance of this, like, ultimate sock, the shiny golden legendary lost sock.
The legendary lost sock.
All right.
Sounds important.
It is. The legend says its match has never been found. So the pressure's on. All the other socks are sorted, but this one, it's the final puzzle.
And the festival deadline is looming.
Exactly. So how do they solve it? It's not about sorting anymore. It's about observation.
Ah, Mia's skill.
Precisely. Mila and Mia are looking around, and it's Mia, the detail spotter, who helps Mila focus on Mick.
On Mick. Why?
Mila asks him, "Wait, Mick, is that a sock in your tail?"
In his tail? What's he say?
His defense is priceless. Mick, the guy obsessed with complex theories like sock portals, just says, "Oh, this, I thought it was a mini banana blanket."
A mini banana blanket. Oh, Mick. So that was it.
That was it, the other golden sock he'd been sitting on it the whole time.
They scan the sock from under his tail.
And cue the triumphant ding, ding, ding. Mystery solved. Festival saved.
That's brilliant. The solution wasn't complicated at all.
And that's the core lesson embedded in the climax, isn't it? Sometimes we overthink things. The answer wasn't lost in some mystical portal.
It was right under his tail.
Literally. It reinforces that sometimes just simple, careful observation, Mia's strength, is what cracks the case, more than elaborate theories.
It's a great payoff, both emotionally for the story and pedagogically for the lesson about observation.
Absolutely.
And how does it wrap up? The monkeys get rewarded, I assume?
They do. Mayor Badger is super relieved, gives them all sparkly sock medals, a symbol of their success in basically organizational thinking.
Nice. And Mick, does he get the last word?
He does. And it's perfectly in character. He just declares, "Next time I'm bringing extra feet."
Huh. Still thinking practically, in his own way, acknowledging his sock-setting issue.
Keeps him lovable right to the end.
So, okay, let's step back. We've gone through this fun kid story, but what are the real takeaways here for anyone listening, maybe thinking about learning or teaching?
Well, we definitely saw that clear structural scaffolding in action, moving from simple tasks like color matching two more complex ones like pattern and size recognition, step by step.
Right. Build the difficulty gradually.
We saw the power of immediate and enthusiastic rewards, the buzz, the confetti, the dramatic dialogue, all reinforcing success right away.
Makes learning feel good.
Exactly. And maybe most importantly, we saw how the characters themselves represented different cognitive approaches. You need the logic, like Mila.
The detailed observation, like Mia.
And you need to manage the distractions, like Milo, and maybe even the tendency to overcomplicate things, like Meek. Effective problem solving often means bringing those different skills together.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? If a children's story can frame sorting laundry as this big, exciting adventure that saves a festival, what parts of our own learning or work or even just daily tasks could we reframe? Make them a bit more engaging, maybe inject some fun, some silly stakes.
Yeah, maybe simplify the steps, celebrate the small wins more enthusiastically.
Right. What legendary lost sock problem in your life might have a solution that's actually hiding right under your figurative tail, just waiting to be observed.
That's a great thought to end on. Finding the simple solution amidst the perceived complexity.